Hello, everybody. Thanks for, well, pulling us up and listening to the Hitman and Carla Unfiltered podcast. With all the craziness that is going on in the year 2020, here we are back for our second episode, Carla. I can't believe this is only our second episode.
I know. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But we're back on Unfiltered with the Hitman and Carla. That's where we talk about a number of things going on in Wichita and the community, maybe some issues. But today we thought one of the things we would focus on is arts in the Wichita community. And you know, Wichita has long held a very strong history when it comes to the arts. And you have your traditional artists, you have your contemporary artists. But we thought we would bring in a guy this morning who's done a lot in the art community. He's also a liaison for many artists in our community. Let's welcome to Unfiltered with the Hitman and Carla, Anthony Joyner.
Hey.
Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good, man. Thanks for making time to be with us.
It's no problem at all. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Look, I'm looking at your resume, profile, description, however you want to describe it or call it. And it says you're an avid lover of the arts for many years. And look, you've tried a bunch of different things. Firefighter, grocery store associate, a call center rep, even an aerospace mechanic. And with all of that, you can never find a place to truly call your home, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in Mississippi, so for me, it was all about, like, hustling, just trying to get to the next dollar. I was adopted, so I started working at a very young age. So when I was a firefighter, I was actually just 18 years old. Like, as soon as I turned 18, I jumped into it.
Nice.
And from there, I just kept following opportunities, but it was this one thing that I always loved, which was art. I started off watching my uncle. He would like airbrush on cars and create T-shirts and, you know, paint and all this different stuff. And I never could do it myself. But I always loved the concept of it. And so when I met my wife, she was a great artist, but she didn't know how to really sell her work. She didn't know her work would be worth money. And so once I showed her that, I just kept pushing from there and trying to figure out a way to get into the art world myself.
Wow, I love that. You showed her the hustle side of her art. That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, and also, speaking of the hustle side, that's the namesake for one of his websites that he has up, hustleandart.com. And it's just like it spells, the word hustle, andart.com. Dude, how does a guy from Mississippi land up in Kansas, USA, in America's heartland? Was there something else that brought you to Wichita? Did you and your wife just say, you know what, we're going to Wichita?
Well, there were a few different things. I was a part of the big layoff that happened with the military when I was in Tennessee, because I worked as a civilian contractor on Fort Campbell Military Base. And so when they did the cutbacks in the military on their, you know, they were holding the government layoffs and all of that, they also cut a lot of us civilian contractors. And so that kind of geared a restart for us. And her family actually lives here in Kansas. This is where my wife was born.
Nice.
And so we came here to visit, and I fell in love with the city. I met Miss Janice Thacker, who was trying to get black artists into bigger scenes and creating different art shows for black artists. And I started working with her on, you know, helping her to get those shows put together and exhibitions and things like that.
So coming from Mississippi, I mean, I think Wichita has a really vibrant art community. You know, we have the Final Fridays and all that stuff. Is it a lot different from the art community and the scene in Mississippi?
Or even Tennessee where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very different. It's a matter of opportunities. In Mississippi, where I'm from Port Gibson, Mississippi, so it's a real small town. I mean, we didn't even really have art galleries and things like that. And growing up, I was never taken to art galleries. All the art that I saw was from hustlers like my uncle and everybody like that. So I didn't know anything about selling canvases back then.
Right.
And so even when I moved to Tennessee, there were galleries and things in Tennessee, but it's even worse than what it is here. There were no black artists in the galleries that I went to there. There were, you know, there was no representation. And the few black artists that I knew, once again, they still weren't really getting into canvases and things. So when I got my wife to start selling her work, people were coming to her left and right because, you know, she was a black artist actually getting out into the scene. So it was way different than what it is here. There were also less shows. Like, they do a lot of craft shows and things here. They have First and Final Fridays here and a lot of other things that you just don't really see in those areas.
Yeah.
And then the murals is another big thing. Wichita is really big, and Kansas as a whole
is
really big on having murals, big, beautiful murals painted on buildings and things like that. You don't really see that in the South a lot.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Janice Thacker. I mean, years for me. I mean, she was one of my educators when I was just a lad. And it's just great to see her out there still interacting with something that she loves. There's no doubt about it. And she's got a long, long track record of that. But if you could kind of talk about the insight and what you identified, in your opinion, to be a very big hole in art or the art industry in the city of Wichita and Kansas, and how that motivated you to try to network with other artists to bring about some type of cohesive group to work together toward one goal.
Well, when I was working with my wife to get her art out, one thing that I would do is I have a background in real estate, too. I had a real estate license in Tennessee, and that was to get me more acclimated into sales. And so when I started helping her with her art, I would literally walk up to people and talk to them about, like, are you renovating your house and things like that? And would you like to buy some art? And I would have those conversations constantly. I didn't mind door knocking and things like that to start conversations. When I made it here to Tennessee, I found out that my wife's grandmother also has a lot of amazing art, but it just sits in her basement.
Oh, man.
She has a few shows. She did a lot of shows when you're here. But her art doesn't really sell as much as I thought that it should.
Right.
So when I met Ms. Thacker, I also met a lot of other black artists that were like here in the city or that come to this city for shows just for her. But it's like I didn't really see that as a constant in the places that we were going to show the work at. So she would do like the NAACP gala, and we would fill up that area with black artists. We would go to Mark Arts and fill up an entire area with black artists. We would go to Wichita State, and the whole Student Radigan Center would be filled with black artists. But then when I would go into those spaces on a normal basis, you don't see black artists really hanging. And so I started talking to some of the gallery owners in the area, and I've had some to admit, yeah, usually we only show 1 to 2 black artists a year. We didn't really know black artists existed in Wichita as a great number. And so to me, that was strange, because it was like, anytime I say I'm going to have an exhibition or a show, or I find out something is going on, I can find several artists to put anywhere at any time. And I went deeper into the conversation, like, okay, are you doing anything in your spaces to make it to make people feel more included? Like, if a black artist were to walk into your space right now, is there anything here that says black art is welcome? So normally they don't hire black employees. And that's the same as, you know, Mexican and Latino. They don't really hire a lot of employees that fit that narrative. So when these artists are introverts, right? Like, usually if you find an artist, they are not really good in the social aspect. They don't like talking to people.
They're expressive through their art.
Exactly. So they already have anxiety when they're going out to put their work in a specific place. Now, when they walk into that space and they don't see anyone in there that they can identify with, their anxiety ramps up a bit more. When they walk through and they look at the art on the walls, if you actually pay attention, black art is different from other art. And it's because of the experiences that we've had, and it's actually proven through psychology as well. The use of color and everything else, the aesthetics of your art, is different based on what you've gone through in life. So when these artists walk through this gallery and they don't see anything in there that looks anything like theirs, now their anxiety is ramped up even more. There was also the issue that I've seen of like different competitions and things that have been had throughout the city. Usually, black and brown artists don't win those competitions or even make it to the last round of those competitions. So that's another thing that ramps their anxiety up a bit more. So for me, it was about helping to solve that problem. And because of that, I joined the Arts Council. I'm now a part of the Cultural Funding Committee. and a lot of other committees throughout the city where I actually have conversations with these gallery owners. I found out about grants and things that I've directly educate the black artists on. And it also motivated me to start creating this gallery as well.
You know, I got to jump in here, Anthony, and if you're just tuning in, it's Unfiltered with the Hitman and Carla, a podcast series we're excited about here with Power 93.5 and anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app. I've heard you mention a lot about black and brown artists, and you said something I thought was interesting. You talked about different experiences equate to different expressions in art. So are you suggesting that if you're not a black or brown artist, that you can't express the same experience that they can express, even though it's highly probable, possible, completely you can't rule it out, that non-black and brown artists may have had similar life experiences? Or are you suggesting that there's no way they can have similar life experiences if they're not a black or brown artist?
You may have similar life experiences, but it's not going to be exactly the same. So let's say you were to have a black artist and a white artist that are next door neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. And as they grow up, you're going to see some differences even there, because the way that we are treated as a black people is different. Let's say as an example for me, growing up, I had long hair, right? Now, a lot of white kids could have long hair and they would be considered like that rock star type style, especially through the 90s, right? Yeah. But for me, my hair was done differently. I would get like plaits, and I had a jerry curl at one time and things
like
that.
None of you had a jerry curl too? I had one of those. Yes. Yeah, I still got spots on my furniture from that jerry curl.
Well, I didn't get my first haircut until I was 18 years old. And
seriously?
Seriously.
Wow.
And so for me, the experiences were different than it would be for most people of different nationalities, because I was made fun of throughout my life for that, right? I had to continuously get a perm. If I missed my perm, people noticed. Wow. Oh, you got naps in your head. Oh, look at the back of your neck. Oh, why is your hair like that? Oh, you look like a little girl, right? Wow. And so that's what I went through throughout my entire childhood, whereas someone of a different nationality wouldn't necessarily go through that, or they may just be able to get a little snip at the back and all of a sudden their hair is in an acceptable range again.
Yeah.
At the age of 16, I went out to try and get a job. I was actually denied a couple of jobs because even though my braids were neat, that was not considered acceptable for a young man. Mm. All right.
Yeah.
So, and this was me trying to put food on the table for me and my family at the age of 16. So made a big impact on me. So if I were to do paintings and everything back then, those experiences would leak into it. Whereas even though there might be a white kid that lives right next to me, that lives under that same poverty line, he wouldn't feel that same impact.
All right. I get where you're going with that. You know, go ahead, Carla.
Well, I was going to ask him, you know, he hustling in art is pretty much what the focus is on. And you do mention uncovering the hustle behind the art of successful artists everywhere. And I think, Anthony, everyone knows the term starving artist, you know, and that branches out into all artists. If you're focusing on the hustle part of it too, what can you tell an artist, maybe a piece of advice for them to go to that next level from just being an artist to being on the road to a successful artist and making money in the process?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that's kind of where I was going with it too, Carla, because on some of the stuff that I've read about you, you talk about how you can help artists make a living in their craft.
Right.
So to what Carla is asking, essentially what I'm saying in a much different way, how do you do that? How do you show an artist how they can sustain an income with their craft?
That's actually a really great question. And what I do with Hustle and Art, I actually went and talked to a lot of different artists in different fields about what they did to get started, like the producer that discovered Joyner Lucas or one of the Hollywood makeup artists, about where they actually got started. And it's really the biggest thing that they talk about is just getting started. So a lot of artists right now, especially artists of color, they paint in their home. They don't have a studio. They're usually in their basement or in their living room, and they paint and they show it off to family. The biggest thing is to take that next step. And that next step for, let's say, a painter might be to go to your local coffee shop. Say, hey, I see that you have art up on the walls. What would I need to do to get my art up on the walls? Especially in places like Wichita, usually those coffee shops and different areas, like even nightclubs and things, they change out their art between first and final Fridays. And if you can actually get on their list, a lot of times you'll be able to get your art up on the walls. That's a place to get started, because that's where you can make a few sales and at least get people to know your name. Leave your business cards. It's a really good idea to go somewhere like Walgreens and get some business cards made for really cheap, mm-hmm. and leave them at the places where you have your art shown, because a lot of times people will come to you later and order art from you. There's also a lot of different events that you can find if you just go to your city's website. So Wichita.gov, you can go there and see where there's a lot of different events that take place throughout the city. Like the Workroom has second Saturdays, and there's the first and final Fridays where there's always businesses looking for new artists to cycle in and out. And that's a really good way to start. If you're a makeup artist, the makeup artist that I talked to talked about how she just started in a makeup bar, just selling makeup at one of the regular stores. And the next thing she knew, she was meeting Fantasia.
Wow.
She walked in because she was going to go to an event, and she was like, I need somebody to help finish my makeup real quick, and she did it. And now she's working for Marseille Martin in Hollywood. So it's a matter of just taking that step. A lot of times we're told that the starving artist is a thing. If your art is not a viable career and things like that. But if you look around you at any point in your life, there's art everywhere. Somebody designed that logo that's on your phone. Somebody designed that desk, even a car. There's the first black artist that actually helped design a car is still alive today. So
the t-shirts we wear,
you see around you. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's... Everything you see around you is an opportunity, and you have to realize that. Another really big thing for me is understanding your resources. So as I stated, I'm on the Arts Council and things like that. We have grants that are available. So if you have ideas that you want to bring into fruition, then take a look through those grants. If you don't know how to write grants, then reach out to us, and we actually have people that can help. In any city that you're listening to this in, they have people that'll do that too.
That's awesome. Awesome. Anthony Joyner, you know, how does an artist, and perhaps maybe you may have some insight, how do you determine a value to the art?
Oh, good question.
I mean, you say, you know, do the art exhibits, put the art on sale. But how do you determine a value to it? And how do you get to that number? Is there a formula that you might suggest for maybe a young or aspiring artist listening to The Hitman and Carla Unfiltered right now that you could suggest to them?
There's a lot of different formulas that are available. You could, I've had some artists tell me that they've Googled it and they've told them to count it as a per hour or a per inch. Mm-hmm. And those are definitely possibilities. But what I suggest is to test the waters, because of the fact that what you are doing is always going to be somewhat unique because it's based on your experiences. Take a look through places like Etsy and other places like that to see what the market is. Study the market just like you would do if you were creating any other product. And I'd say the same thing for any artist, whether it's a musician, ceramist, whatever. Take a look at the market, places like Etsy and wherever you're going to be selling your work, and see what looks similar to yours and what's the price that it's actually selling for. Not just the prices that people have listed. Take a look at how many sales that store has. How many reviews do they have? And what are the people saying? And then start there. Once you get a handle on, you know, let's say, for instance, you were to price your work at $100 for a painting. And then you see where you got maybe 10 sales in 1 week, right? Then it's okay to raise your prices just a little bit at that point to see if the market is still there. You can always adjust. That's another thing. Never be afraid to adjust. So if you get to a point where you see you're not really getting a lot of sales and it's affecting you, then lower your prices a bit.
Yeah, I got you. And at the end of the day, I guess it's worth what anybody's willing to pay for it.
True.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And if you're doing unique pieces where one piece of art, that's the only way to get that painting, there may be even a greater value there.
Yeah. And also, don't sell yourself short if you're listening right now as an artist. Just have confidence in your work. And Anthony, I have a question. What are plans being put in place maybe for future art galleries or forums here in the community to celebrate, or I guess to not only the arts in our community, but also the diversity, like you talked about earlier, representing local artists here in Wichita.
And surrounding communities,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things being put in place right now. So different galleries are starting to put together task forces because this has been brought to their attention, where they're talking about how they can go about bringing in more artists, especially to increase the diversity in their spaces. Mm. There are people like me that are sitting on those boards to help bring more artists in and to make more welcoming programming. But also, I have an art gallery, which is Mulberry Gallery, that's being built on Central. And it's going to be a not-for-profit gallery where we're going to be welcoming a large amount of diverse artists. It's a strong focus on Black and Brown artists to help to get them acclimated into the scene. And it's going to be like, it's a really big thing. And it's right on Central across from Revolution.
Yeah, if you could kind of help the audience illustrate, especially for some people that may not be familiar with the area like all of us are, but what are the cross streets? Central, and is it 2nd or 1st Street?
It's Central and Volusia, though. It's Central and I think that's South Volusia.
All right. Is that where the Revolutia place is located off of Central and Volusia?
Yes, Revolutia is the building that's made out of all the shipping containers.
Yeah.
And Mulberry Gallery is going to be right across the street.
Man, that's art in and of itself, just to look at those containers and what they've done to create space for a lot of different opportunities in the city.
That's really cool that you guys are creating just a whole gallery right there. When do you plan on having that available for the community to start being a part of?
Well, our goal before was to have it ready in late December, but we see some things are going to get pushed back. So now the goal has been set for February.
Mm.
So Black History Month is when we're hoping to get the opening.
And I'm sure the pandemic has not offered a lot of positive outcomes. It's impacted so many different things in our community. Anthony, what do you tell someone who's listening right now? They hear your message. They're excited, as anybody would be. I mean, anytime you can get more art to more people and also help more artists make a living, a sustainable income at their craft. You talk about, as I understand it, you have a nonprofit organization. I thought I heard you talk about that earlier. Do you have a nonprofit? What is it? And how can people donate to help the nonprofit and help you spread the message and create more awareness to diverse art in our community?
Well, right now I do have a nonprofit. It is 501(c) pending, but you can reach me at any time. If you go to mulberrygallery.com, there's a contact button there to where you can reach out to me. It's my phone number, email address, and everything is listed there.
I see.
And you can also reach out directly to me on Facebook. It's Anthony Joyner. But essentially what that nonprofit is for is to help to connect our artists, to provide different opportunities. We have something called Meet the Challenge, where we have some young artists between the ages of 14 and 18. We bring them in and show them that their art can be worth something and take them into Go Create here in Wichita, get them a 6-month free scholarship, and help them to design a T-shirt or some type of product. And then now we're going to have some of our artists, we've already paid for a table at an upcoming event later this month.
Nice.
Where they're going to be able to sell their work.
I think that's great. And you brought up a couple of things that I think, myself included, people don't think about. I think it's just a really great movement you're doing. And
you're a very good artist yourself, Carla. I don't know if a lot of people realize that Carla's art skills are top notch, and you just have a love for art.
Yeah.
It's just something, and I guess Anthony kind of touched on a little bit, where there are a lot of people out there doing art, and they don't think anything about making a living at it or making money selling their
art. Right, you just consider it a hobby, and some people are like, hey, what can I pay for that? And you're like, what can you pay for this? Like you mentioned earlier, how do you put a value on those things?
Yeah.
So I think these are great things for people to think about to make their hobbies lucrative and turn it into an actual career.
No doubt.
Absolutely. And there are so many resources available, like I said. Like, grants are so easy to apply for sometimes. We had one recently with the Arts Council that only took about 10 minutes to fill out, and we have more that are coming. So always reach out to those resources. And anybody who's listening to this, you can reach out to me on Facebook, or if you contact me there, I'll provide my email address or phone number or whatever, and you can reach out. My email address is Anthony J. at hustleandart.com. All right. Simple enough. Reach out to me anytime, and I'll provide you the resources that I have.
Anthony J. at hustleandart.com. Speaking of which, you have a podcast that you do yourself for artists to listen to. And the namesake, not surprisingly, I might add, is Hustle and Art. How do people listen to your podcast like they're listening to the Hitman and Carla Unfiltered right now?
That podcast is available on Spotify, iTunes, and all of the major platforms. And it's just about, like I said earlier, connecting. I connect to different artists throughout the United States on what they've done to get to where they are, and how other artists can kind of use that as a roadmap to get there as well, to gain success. So it's actually done through, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank right now.
That's okay. It happens to me all the time, especially when my wife asks me to do something. I was like, hey, I forgot about that.
Conveniently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's done through Anchor. That's the name of it. It's done through Anchor, so it's available on all the major platforms. It's just Hustle and Art.
Cool.
There it is, hustleandart.com. And the podcast as well. Anthony, I got to applaud you, man, for what you're doing for art and our community. Clearly, the passion that you and your wife have about art in and of itself, above and beyond anything that you're doing within a community.
And for the culture.
Yeah, for the culture. It speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And we applaud everything you're doing. And I can't tell you enough how much we appreciate you making time for the Hitman and Carla Unfiltered podcast today. Thank you so much, man.
Well, thank you all very much for having me. I really appreciate everything you all do throughout the community. I hear your names a lot, and so it means a lot to be able to have a conversation with someone like yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, we feel the same way, just to be able to have a conversation with you as well. Anthony Joyner, thank you, man, for being on with us. It's the Hitman and Carla Unfiltered Podcast.
Hey.
Thanks for being with us on Power 93.5.